This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, six after the hour on this free-for-all Friday. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Thanks for dialing it in. Covering a lot of ground today. We'll get back to talking more about the Supreme Court upholding Obamacare here in a moment. And we'll also hear again from Dr. Bill Mangan and Dr. Michael Mangan coming up in hour three here about their new direct primary care model, where you don't need, in fact, they don't accept insurance going forward. They don't accept insurance. They work with you for a direct primary care model, and it's interesting to say the least. In France today, terrorism again, it appears. One man decapitated, several others injured in a terror attack at a chemical factory in eastern France. According to Le Dauphin, the newspaper, a loud explosion was reported at approximately 9:50 local time at Saint-Quentin-Fauvière. It's northwest of the Alpine city of Grenoble. A French security official told the Associated Press that two attackers arrived at the factory in a car bearing banners written in Arabic, setting off explosions, one carrying an Islamic State flag. Then they beheaded a man at the company's entrance. Then went into the building to set off other gas canisters. One of the attackers arrested, and local media reported the man was known to authorities as a radical, as an Islamist, as a jihadist. I wonder if there's a report in France that white guys are more dangerous than jihadists there too, like the nonsense report that came out here in America. The report issued by something or other, America, blah, blah, blah. Issued by a former member of the Barack Obama inner circle. Apparently the Ku Klux Klan's making a big return to America. I mean, come on, please. Yeah, there's a big rise of white supremacy in America. Or these radical right, they're always the right-wing groups. Radical right-wing groups. Well, you know, for the record, you know, most of the folks involved with these horrible mass shootings in places like Aurora, Colorado, and Sandy Hook, all well-known leftists, left-of-center people. So, I mean, and I only say that because it has nothing to do with the material fact that people have been killed. It has to do with the fact that it's being thrown out there as a red herring. Anyhow, so in France, they have one of the attackers arrested. Sky News citing French sources saying that the severed head had Arabic writing written across it. And it was then placed onto a fence next to the Islamic flag. French authorities saying that approximately 10 people were injured in the attack. A local police deputy described the attack as definitely a terrorist act. You know, which is weird, because in America, we'd probably call this workplace violence. You know, because in America, when a man screaming Islamic comments and derisive comments in Arabic as he guns down American military personnel at Fort Hood, Texas, it's called workplace violence. When another lowlife crawls into a church and kills the parishioners of the church because he's white and they're black, it becomes domestic terrorism. Are you as sick and tired of the nonsense and the doublespeak and the duplicity as I am? I've had enough of this. Call things for what they are. Call things by their actual and accurate name. And thankfully, the French, my God, the French have it right. We don't, but the French do. The French have it right when it comes to terrorism. They know what it is. They know what it looks like. Oklahoma, you know, there was a beheading in Oklahoma. Was that 6 months ago? Still being referred to as a racist incident, despite the fact that the guy was deeply involved in radical Islamic talk on his websites, on his Facebook page. talking to his coworkers before he beheaded the woman. He would have beheaded another woman, except one of the folks that worked there was an off-duty sheriff's deputy, shot him. Still on his way to court, that one. Workplace violence. You see, in France, if someone gets their head sawed off and there's a guy screaming Arabic, you know, comments of people, they call that terrorism because, well, it is. In America, we call that workplace violence, unless, of course, it's a white perpetrator with some black victims, and then we call it terrorism. See how screwed up that is? Come on, people, we're smarter than that. I don't care what color you are, black, white, green, yellow, makes no difference. We're smarter than that. We're better than that. You're better than that. The State Department said Thursday it cannot locate 15 work-related emails from Hillary Clinton's private server released this week by the Select Committee probing the 2012 Benghazi attacks. Another incident of workplace violence. A revelation that the head of the committee described as significant and troubling. The emails consist of more in a series of intelligence reports passed to her by longtime political confidant Sidney Blumenthal, that according to the Associated Press. At least the existence of the emails turned over to Blumenthal, but not by Clinton, directly contradicts Clinton's news conference in March, in which she said, point blank, that all work emails from her personal server had been turned over to the State Department. Not true. This revelation also raises further questions about the presidential hopeful's use of personal email accounts and servers when she served as Secretary of State. As well as the decision to wipe her server clean, you know, hide everything. When asked for comments, a Clinton official said not only did she turn over all emails that she had from Blumenthal, she actually turned over more than a dozen emails that were not included in what he handed over to the White House committee. We do not have a record of other correspondence between her and Mr. Blumenthal beyond that which was turned over to the State Department. Of course you don't. Why would you? In terms of the documents provided by Mr. Blumenthal to the White House committee, we do not recognize many of those materials and cannot speak to their origin. We just don't know. And, you know, she broke the law, but, you know, nobody's going to say anything, and we're just going to stall and stall and stall. Clinton's use of the illegal non-governmental emails while in office was not publicly disclosed until earlier this year. After the committee sought her correspondence related to the Benghazi attack, she says the single account for personal and professional purposes was a matter of convenience and says all her work emails were included in the 55,000 pages of documents she later handed over to the State Department, but that's proven not to be true. She then destroyed tens of thousands of emails she said were of a personal nature, also lying to the government, to the State Department inquiry, to the congressional review. The emails missing from the State Department's records include missives from Blumenthal, which he sends media accounts about the killing of one of the Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi's sons. And it goes on and on and on. And will she ever be held to account? Not by this media. Not by this national media. She gets a pass. Can you imagine if Donald Trump had a secret email? What would they do to him? If Scott Walker had a secret email, how would that be handled? 888-900-9966, the hotline on this free-for-all Friday. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.
This is The Steve Gruber Show, bringing you the news and newsmakers that affect you most.
Healthcare. Let's talk about it in all aspects this morning on this free-for-all Friday here on the Steve Gruber Show. The California Assembly approving one of the toughest mandatory vaccination laws in the nation now moving forward. California lawmakers yesterday approved one of the toughest mandatory requirements ever, moving to end exemptions from state immunization laws based on religious or other personal beliefs. This is happening in California. The measure, very controversial, taken up by the legislature this year, would require more children who enter daycare and school to be vaccinated against childhood diseases, including measles and whooping cough. Meanwhile, daycare vaccination rates in Michigan are far below acceptable guidelines, according to many. Joining me now, registered nurse Mary Wasinski, immunization program supervisor for the Kent County Health Department. Mary, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
So, I mean, this is, yeah, and I don't know where this all began, but it seems to me, my understanding of vaccination and immunization is clearly it is, you know, promoted health, saved literally countless tens of thousands of lives potentially over the time that we've been using over the last many decades. But somewhere along the line, vaccinations and immunization was demonized. And sure. now here in Michigan, the vaccination rates are falling. And I'm, you know, is there side effects? Potentially, somewhere, sometimes it happens. I grant that. But as a general rule, aren't vaccinations a good idea?
Vaccinations are a good idea. They're safe. They're one of the greatest public health achievements of the 20th century. They were rated in the top 10. And they're probably one of the most scrutinized things. People think they're not safe. The studies continue long after the vaccines are approved for use. And so they are safe and effective. I think there's many reasons why people aren't vaccinating. One, I think we're a victim of our own success. Even many doctors, young ones, haven't seen measles. They haven't seen a case of Hib. So it tends to get put on the back burner. The other thing is, if you Google vaccines, what comes up? The unsafe sites. We've got many movie stars that are talking about how bad vaccines are.
So,
and you would go to them if you needed, you know, monetary advice or if you had appendicitis, but people believe them because they're in the public eye.
Yeah, they're movie stars. They have, you know, they live in a world of make-believe. They live
right.
in a fantasy world day in and day out, and I don't mind movies, but let's be honest. They live in a world of make-believe. They're not authorities on public health or, well, frankly, much of anything else if you listen to them talk. you know, you can people can think you're a fool, but if you open your mouth, you'll certainly confirm it, and that's true of most of our people in Hollywood, in my estimation. So what do we do here in Michigan? I mean, vaccination rates in Michigan are below the guidelines, and my concern is not necessarily for those parents who refuse to get their kids vaccinated. It's for the parents who have maybe newborns that haven't been vaccinated yet for some of the diseases that are exposed to children that, you know, put everybody at risk.
Exactly. That's true. You know that Michigan is one of 19 states that accept philosophical and religious waivers. We are very concerned. I know the article that was just on MLive said that people aren't concerned. All we care about is that they report. And that's not true. The reporting compliance is part of our public health code. So that's what schools do get rated on and daycares. But in the immunization program, health departments, physician offices, we're working very hard to talk to people about risks and benefits and hopefully change some people's minds about vaccination. The administrative rules were changed in December of 2014 to bring waivers back to the public health departments because it isn't really fair to secretaries to try and counsel people about should I get a vaccine, should I not.
Yes,
it's not their job.
Yeah.
And we're hoping that part of our waiver rate are waivers of convenience. The school reporter had to get the report done, so she said, yep, just sign this waiver. And really, they might have had an appointment the next week. They should not have had a waiver. So we think there were some convenience waivers, and we're working very hard to decrease that, but we won't have the data since we just started in January until probably spring of 2016.
Mm. You know, and I look at this story is coming out just 2 hours ago in the Los Angeles Times about this story in California, and it came out of that we all heard the story about the measles outbreak at Disneyland with more than
right.
150 people, you know, came down with the measles, you know, largest outbreak in, I couldn't even tell you when, probably my lifetime, you know, because people are, well, you know, I don't want to get an immunization because they were demonized.
Right.
And linked to things that there, you know, there is no direct link to. So the question then becomes, my question to you, and you know, as the program supervisor there in Kent County,
mm-hmm.
do you think Michigan should, you know, make stricter vaccination and immunization guidelines like the state of California?
You know, my personal opinion, yes, I think we should. I think that there's steps that are being taken. It's very difficult to change policy and to change law. Right now there's only two states. Hopefully California will become the third. West Virginia and Mississippi are the only two that only allow for medical exemptions.
So the backward states, the backward states of West Virginia and Mississippi, you know, the rednecks have it right.
Sort sure sounds that way.
You know, I mean, I'm being fun because, you know, people on the left poke fun at West Virginia, Mississippi as being a bunch of knuckle draggers. Well, the knuckle draggers are smart enough to know that real science tells us that childhood immunization is a pretty smart thing to do. So here in Michigan, what can we do in the short term to make sure that people are as healthy, children primarily, are as healthy as possible? You got about 40 seconds for the last word, Mary.
I think what we need to do is keep telling our story. Telling our story that vaccines are safe, vaccines are effective, they save lives. Unfortunately, we still have kids dying in Michigan from vaccine-preventable diseases. So we just talk about the risks, we talk about the benefits, and we give people the science on how safe and effective vaccines are.
I greatly appreciate it, Mary. Thank you for coming and joining us today. And hopefully people are, well, hopefully people are smart enough to read and understand that immunization was one of the great accomplishments of the 20th century. Thank you,
right.
Mary.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great Friday. Mary Wozinski here, the registered nurse and immunization program supervisor for Kent County's Health Department, right here on the Steve Gruber Show. Get your kids immunized. Come on. Be smart. We'll be right back on a free-for-all Friday edition of the Steve Gruber Show.
The Steve Gruber Show. Jump starting your day with the news that matters.
Free for all Friday here. Following the attack in France, an Islamist attack there. One man beheaded, his head hung on a fence this morning. Arabic writing all over his face, the Islamic State flag draped next to him or nearby. And can you imagine the French are actually calling it a terrorist attack? Yeah, it's shocking, I realize, because clearly it's workplace violence. You know, how dare they? I mean, they must be racists and bigots in France. You know, I mean, just because a guy gets his head chopped off and there's Arabic writing on his face, I mean, that's ridiculous to believe. Ridiculous to believe that that would be terrorism. Foolish behavior and bigoted behavior. Bigoted behavior, to say the least. Here's a little bit of a surprise for you, a little shock for you. Speaking of politics, and I think that, unfortunately, terrorist attacks have been politicized entirely too much over the, since 9/11, frankly. Politicized completely. But speaking of politics, less than 2 months ago, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, your hero and mine, held a 21 percentage point lead over her nearest competitor in the New Hampshire Democratic primary. Now her edge is down to, wait for it, her edge is down to 8 points. That's right, 8 points. Bernie Sanders is trailing Hillary Clinton by just 8 points in a brand new CNN WMUR Granite State poll. Hello, Hillary. The communist. The avowed communist. The man who thinks that we, the working folk, should pay for everything else for those that choose not to work, basically. We should pay for housing and food, health care, transportation, entertainment, college, of course, and anything else you can think of. He would like a vast redistribution of wealth, including yours, Mrs. Clinton, and your $25 to $50 million net worth, depending on what it turns out to be, including yours, Mrs. Clinton, 43 to 35%. That is her lead now, down to single digits. And with a margin of error of 5.2%, it's almost a statistical dead heat. According to that same poll, Vice President Joe Biden was the choice of 8%, while former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley drew 2%, and former Virginia Senator Jim Webb, who, by the way, is supporting protection of the Confederate flag, and former Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee, each came in with 1%. Now, here's the thing. If the Democrats and the networks follow the same guidelines as they are for the Republicans, out of that deal, I think all of those candidates would make it to the debate. Clinton and Sanders for sure, but I think all you need is one percentage point in recent polls to make it onto the stage for a debate. Wouldn't that be exciting? Jim Webb and Lincoln Chafee, Martin O'Malley, Joe Biden, and most importantly, Bernie Sanders hammering Clinton on the debate. I'm looking forward to it. He will move her so far left, but the frightening thing is the majority of the electorate is so weak, simple-minded they are, they'll vote anyway. Oh, yeah, just everything's free. We don't have to pay for anything. Yeah. No, we get it from the government. See, we get this, and I want cable TV. I want that, and I want more money from the government. Yeah, those rich people, they don't pay their fair share. We need to make sure they pay their fair share. The problem is there are a lot of simple-minded people that vote. Some people call them low-information voters. How about no information? They have no idea what they're voting for. Oh, yeah, I'm voting for her. You know, she'll be the first woman to be president. Yeah. And so what? I mean, seriously, so what? That's really, you know, what kind of plumbing we have is the most crucial consideration when it comes to electing the person that's going to lead the free world. The plumbing, whether it's internal or external, that's what we're going to talk about, really? Clinton, also the candidate most likely voters say is the least honest as well, which is shocking. I mean, Hillary's usually comes across as so genuine. New poll shows that Clinton has a strong favorability rating with 74%, but the highest number of people think that she is completely dishonest. Only 2% for Sanders. Anyhow, so, I mean, there you go. And how do we find out about a lot of these? Hillary Clinton could be in trouble when the leaks come as well. The leaks could be on the way. Our next guest here, Stephen Cohn, is joining us. And 2 years ago, nobody had heard of Edward Snowden until he changed the world when it came to whistleblowing. Stephen Cohn, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much.
I appreciate having you here. You're the supervising attorney for legal work performed by attorneys associated with the National Whistleblower Legal Defense and Education Fund. And, you know, whistleblowers, you know, back in the 70s, man, it was risky. Into the 80s, it was risky. You whistleblow, you could lose your job, your career, you'd be sandbagged, blackballed. But there's legislation that's been passed and laws in place now to protect people. Edward Snowden's still the most wanted man in the world, but for a lot of folks, whistleblowing can help out the rest of us, and people are protected if they point their finger at something that's going on that shouldn't be.
There's no doubt. Especially in the private sector for fraud and ripping off the government, you have some of the best whistleblower laws in the country. They have anti-retaliation. You can get large monetary rewards. You can blow the whistle anonymously and confidentially. So if you're blowing the whistle on certain issues, you'll be protected.
So what kind of issues? Give me a quick, give me one or two.
Well, the big ones right now are securities fraud, fraud in government contracting, foreign corruption, paying bribes to foreign officials, and blowing the whistle on large tax frauds.
Well,
all have very specific, really effective laws. The worst is national security. And unfortunately, a lot of our environmental laws still have very bad protections.
Yeah, the first grouping, though, you'd think there'd be whistles going off all over. It'd be a deafening sound. You know.
Well, there should be, but for national security, it was excluded in 1978 from the major whistleblower law. Those agencies lobbied and got an exemption. And we, the American people, are paying for that ever since.
In what way?
Well, if you work, say, like Snowden, or doing analysis before the war in Iraq, and you determine there were no weapons of mass destruction, there was no lawful way for you to report that. And if you did, you could have been fired just for reporting it, and no recourse. So the American people are the big losers on scandals related to national security.
Hey, Stephen Cohn is on the line with us. Could you hold with me for just one moment? I have to go to a quick break here, and I want to come back, and I want to ask you what Edward Snowden has, you know, how he has really changed the world in the playing field, if you will.
sure.
It's 41 after on the Steve Gruber Show. It's a free-for-all Friday. You can join us, 888-900-9966, the number to call. A couple more quick questions for Stephen Cohn, and then on to our good friend Ron Van Timmeren. It's all straight ahead.
The Steve Gruber Show. Jump starting your day with the news that matters.
Must be getting early. 45 after the hour. Welcome back to the Steve Gruber Show. Free for all Friday edition. You can join the conversation. Drop your 2 cents in. 888-900-9966. What a bargain, because it's still 2 cents. That price has not gone up. We're on the phone today with Stephen Cohn. He is the author of the new book, Whistleblower's Handbook, talking about how whistleblowing has changed the landscape politically here, not only in the United States, but around the world. Edward Snowden changed the world, I think is fair to say. And Stephen Cohn, did he do that? Did it change the landscape for the better, for the worse? What is the net result, the impact of Edward Snowden, do you think?
Well, I think we already know that the Patriot Act was amended to become less intrusive and more compliant with the U.S. Constitution. And he also exposed, you know, certain lies that were given to the American people in Congress about the nature and scope of those programs. So that clearly served the public interest. Whether he leaked classified information that will harm the United States in the long term, I think that's yet to be decided. But what you see with Snowden is classic whistleblowing. You have an insider with access to information, often that the American people need to either protect themselves or make a correct political decision. The key issue is, can that insider report it lawfully and safely? If you set up a good whistleblower program, say like they have in the government contracting area, you can. But if you don't set up a whistleblower program that makes it safe and legal, you'll end up with issues like Mr. Snowden. It's tragic on both sides. The whistleblower has a catastrophic outcome. The American people don't get the information they need. And guess what? The government can even be harmed, because the information that's coming out, some of it may be harmful to the government. So without a method to have the insider who witnesses the fraud and corruption make a lawful report, everyone's a loser. That's why, you know, we're very strong advocates for better and more efficient laws.
Stephen Cohn, I greatly appreciate you joining us here today. The book is The Whistleblower's Handbook. The Whistleblower's Handbook, I expect it can be found in all the usual places.
That's right. And also on the website, whistleblowers.org. If you buy it through that organization, it'll be a nonprofit and a tax-exempt donation for the whistleblower issue.
Stephen Cohn, thank you for your insight. Very interesting conversation. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
There you have it, Stephen Cohn. Go ahead and look that book up. It's The Whistleblower's Handbook. If you're getting ready, you know, Whistleblowing for Dummies. Well, no, something like that. If you're going to blow the whistle, go read the book, and then, you know, step by step. If A, then B. You get it. At any rate, 47 after, now 48 after on this free-for-all Friday. And shifting gears now, Ivy and I, we went to the movies. No, didn't we, Ivy? We went out to the movies, and we enjoyed Jurassic World. We wanted to be part of a movement. We wanted to be part of the worldwide phenomenon known as Jurassic World. I'd say we enjoyed it. It was a good movie. Here to talk more about the movies, Ron Van Timmeren. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, Jurassic World, the fastest ever to $1 billion in worldwide box office, just 13 days. You're right. It is a phenomenon. I'm glad you're part of it.
Absolutely. You know, it's a movement, Ron, and we wouldn't want to miss our movement.
Every day. That's right. Well, this week, I think there will be a new number one in America, and that will be Ted 2, barely tracking more than Jurassic World's holdover number, but could be a race between Ted 2, Jurassic World Inside Out for number one this weekend. Ted 2, you know what to expect. Filthy, funny. Seth MacFarlane, you know what to expect from him. Mark Wahlberg, Amanda Seyfried. Lots of cameos from Liam Neeson to Tom Brady. Again, rated very R, you know what to expect.
Tom Brady, does he talk about Never mind. Ted, why the potty mouth? That's all I want to say.
Yeah, well, it worked to the 2.5 billion worldwide in Ted 1, so they're back for more. And they're going to get into some issues as well. Seth MacFarlane making his statement about equal rights for teddy bears and other people. So a lot going on in Ted 2. It's very funny. You might need a shower afterwards. So.
I just saw Seth. I saw an interview with him yesterday basically saying, you know, liberal PC people just aren't funny. Basically, lighten up. The PC crowd is killing comedy in Hollywood was kind of his take on things.
Well, he's breaking all the doors down with Ted movies, and I think it'll do 55, 56 million this weekend. On the other side of the coin, a nice family movie called Max, a U.S. Marine fighting hero dog come back to the U.S. These dogs get PTSD, too, and this looks like a very emotional movie from the director of Remember the Titans, screenplay by the woman who wrote Marley and Me, and it looks like a good family picture.
All right, I'm gonna go back in time, and two people will know this reference. Run, Joe, Run was a Saturday morning thing that looks just like Max back probably 1977, 78. I watched it every Saturday morning. I'm just, you know, going way back. That's what Max is to me, and maybe it'd be a great family movie. There you go. What else is out there?
Well, you know, we before we talk again next Thursday because of the holiday, for next week Wednesday, or actually Tuesday night, Magic Mike XXL, Terminator, Genesis opening up, Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, Faith of Our Fathers. It's going to be a great holiday weekend at Celebration Cinema.
Yeah, Jurassic World, Terminator, what is it, 1982? Hey, Ron, thank you so much, my friend.
See you at the movies.
There you have it, Ron Van Timmeren from Celebration Cinemas. I mean, seriously, Terminator, you know, Clinton's running for president. Jurassic World is number one. It just seems like 1982 all over again. Well, except that we've become a communist nation in the interim. Except that, you know, they've done anything they can to destroy the likeness of Ronald Reagan. Other than that. So is there anybody else out there remember Run, Joe, Run? It was on for like 2 months. It didn't last very long. It was about a German Shepherd. Looks just like this. German Shepherd on there. Maybe I am the only guy that watched that on Saturday mornings. Help me out. 888-900-9966. 888-900-9966. Now, coming up here in the next hour, we will hear from two Michigan doctors pursuing new options and refusing insurance altogether. They won't be taking any insurance cards right here in Michigan as a result of the Obamacare rulings and the mess that is insurance today. Plus, we'll have John Prosser here, the president of the Neurotrauma Association. We'll have an update on the battle over no-fault insurance reform here in the state of Michigan, how it could affect you, your pocketbook, and more importantly, your family. It's Free For All Friday on The Steve Gruber Show.